sign system. I find you in the shoes and moving a great. And being a nerd, the sign system is everywhere you go.
This is the oldie but goodie. Dun 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 dun.
The Office, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I say that because that is we did The Office before in a previous episode.
We did The Office, so you understand intonation.
I'm learning. This old dog can learn a few new tricks every now and then.
Maybe this is episode 50. We're approaching that. So depending on when this is released, like it's been an honor, very grateful to be able to talk to you 50 times and record it.
Year two years of this, man, which is bonkers.
Yeah. Wanted to touch back just on the trajectory of like the different roles that we've been in. And I think specifically the individual contributor design system designer versus like product design manager. And I had recently, I guess about 1.75 years ago, almost 2 years, I had switched from design manager back to IC. And for a large portion of the time, as I was going through the design systems work here at Meta, I thought, oh, I think I still want to go back to being a design manager. And then shit sort of hit the fan with layoffs and design managers being let go. And it's a little different. I wanted to talk about just the differences in our role, where we would like to go and what we see as for people that are interested in getting into specific either design management or IC, what are the sort of like the goods and the bads?
4 hour podcast episode right here. It's a lot. The obvious one to me is, how many of us have had a bad manager? Everyone's going to raise their hands, and that's the risk. It's not hard to be a bad manager. And, realistically, every manager is a bad manager, for a period of time or on a bad day. It's just how often are you a bad manager and are you improving? And do you understand the implications of being a bad manager and how that impacts real people in the process? What are the motivations for being a manager? It's such a gnarly topic, because I think for too long, that's where you got to go. That's the next step. If you want to take that next step in your career, you got to be a manager. And I think that brought a lot of people into I don't want to do this, but I got no choice. And that is a breeding ground for some real bad management within a company. So I don't know, man. It's a tough one. It's one of those things where I think it doesn't hurt if everyone gives it a try, but I don't think you should consider your career a failure if you don't do it and you decide to go back into being an IC.
Yeah, I think that what's changed, I would say, in the past maybe 2 to 3 years, is that there are more prevalent staff design type roles, like design IC leadership roles. So that is something that's been a positive. I think historically at, let's say, Disney Streaming, for instance, when we were there, I think the manager, even though a staff or principal level designer was leveled similarly, the manager was in theory responsible and was able to see and influence more. I think now it might be a little different there as the practice has changed, but I definitely see at Meta, the managers and staff level designers are pretty similarly leveled. They see the same stuff. It's just the job function is different, which is, I think, maybe what you're speaking to. When I was interviewing 2 years ago, a lot of places had said, well, we have this staff level position, which in our case reports straight to a director. And that's, I think, what a lot of people want. Like they want to sort of stay at this like lead or staff level design position, like in design systems, to just sort of stick and just excel.
I also think, and there's this illusion, and I'm going to say it's an illusion, that, you know, if I only go up to X level, then I can really make the big decisions. I hate to break it to you. It is not the case. There's always someone above you that is going to be, you're going to get a pressure from above, no matter where you are. There's always going to be someone that is higher up in the chain. Even if you're the CEO, it's the board, right? It's the shareholders. You're always beholden to someone. And so that is, I think, one thing to take into consideration is that, sure, you may theoretically have, you know, technically the ability to direct folks, even though I may not necessarily agree with utilizing it in that way. It's not like, well, and the world's your playground, you get to do whatever you want to do. You still have to answer to someone else, and that doesn't go away. Sure, you may theoretically have, you know, technically the ability to direct folks, even though I may not necessarily agree with utilizing it in that way. It's not like, well, and the world's your playground, you get to do whatever you want to do. You still have to answer to someone else, and that doesn't go away.
Never. Yeah. So when I was like being brought in, I was brought in as an IC, and I wanted to, like, my goal was to be a manager of a design system team. And that's still my goal. And it's, you know, it's pretty public knowledge that that's my goal. And whether it's here or elsewhere, I don't have a specific time frame, but that's still something that I would like to do, because I do want to be more involved in the entirety of the design system program. And the difference, and I would say the thing that sort of evolved as I've been more involved with the work, was like, I just to tag along with what you were saying, I think the benefit of being an IC and not being a manager is I do feel that I could dive like super deep into specific things. So in theory, I am more involved in day-to-day tactical decisions, and I'm able to, like, for instance, I could influence the documentation program. I could go in and fix things on my own. I could create a direction for that. I could create a direction for how we release components, how we maintain, how we manage them. And I have the ability to also do and make those things also. So I have a one-to-one understanding of the jobs to be done. As a manager, on the other hand, I feel there's a little bit of an abstraction, even like a veil that's covering some of like the understanding at times. Like, you don't necessarily do all this tactical work day to day, so there's an abstraction.
Or an iron curtain, right? Like, yeah. impermeable membrane that you can't even see, you can't see anything. And I think that's...
I'd be nice with a veil. Maybe it's like a blackout curtain,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I think that's where, like, you know, we all hear the term, my boss is an idiot. They're probably not an idiot. The mistake they probably made was trying to chip into a conversation that they just don't have enough information about, and their prior experience doesn't apply. And they, you know, the recommendation be like, yeah, just slow your roll. because you don't understand what's going on. You don't even know what you don't know, because you got a lot of things to do as a manager. You got, in some regards, you had one boss. Now you got many bosses. You got the boss above you, and now you got people who need your help and have requests. And you're like, I need to expense this thing. I need time off. I need you to approve that. I need help with this thing. Hopefully you're making time for the people who report to you to support them and give them what they need. And that takes time, and that takes energy, and that takes multitasking. And all that time that you're reporting to your reports and also reporting to your boss takes away from the day-to-day work. And so many folks in management, myself included, don't even know what they don't know. And so it's, you know, just having a little self-awareness and humility that like, oh boy, I'm really out of the loop here. I should probably keep my mouth shut or just ask a few questions before I rip into this. That's the challenge. And I think the higher up you go, the more abstract it becomes. But there's some weird expectation that, you know, the higher up you're some paragon of wisdom and clarity, which is, you know, you're just as human as anyone else and just as flawed.
Yeah. Like I remember I had explained what I was doing with a neighbor of mine who he works for the state, not non-tech. And he's like, oh, you're just a middle manager. And I was like, no, I'm a lead of design systems at Disney. I'm not a middle manager.
I am a middle man. Well, no, I'm not even a middle manager. I'm just a manager. I'm a lower manager.
lower manager. I think I'll wrap this like back around. I think my interest in being the manager initially was not only focusing on the people and helping grow the people that are working in design systems, but growing design systems practice like as a whole. So I think the opportunities to do that where I'm sitting here are, I think, a little less, but that doesn't necessarily negate my ability to influence based on just the purview that I have. And I think how I'm satisfying that as an IC is I lead a group of three-ish, I'll say three-ish just based on the fluctuating headcount, but I lead a group of three-ish that are focusing on our component libraries, documentation, and support. So it's pretty major portions of like our design system program. So I'm still able to facilitate that, but I'm able to also do whatever IC work that I need to do.
And that's the interesting thing is, you know, if you're a manager, yes, you are probably responsible for facilitating setting the direction of a team. What's interesting is the management of personalities. Some people want to be mentored. Some people don't want to be mentored. Some people think they want to be mentored and don't. And then some people don't think they want to be mentored and do. And so it's not even just the mentorship. It's understanding the personalities, your relationship with them, the relationship they have with different team members. There's going to be different approaches. There's going to be, you know, toes that are stepped on and feelings that are hurt. And that's your job to help work through those things. And it has nothing to do with design. That's another big thing to really delve into is how much are you interested in the day-to-day work of design versus the design of human beings, the design of relationships between human beings, and what's your capacity for that? You know, one thing I wish I was better aware of is when I got into management with having two kids and just like, I was exhausted at the end of the day was a hilarious understatement. I was just completely emptied out. And I didn't know what I didn't know. And that took a lot to kind of gather myself and compose myself on a day-to-day basis, because it was a lot. You know, you're responsible for a lot of different things, and that clock hits a certain number and you go out of the room, or you do, you know, you close your laptop, and now you got to be a parent and you got to be available to them. So that's the other thing. Are you even in a space in a period of life where it makes sense? Like, are you having marital problems? Don't be a manager. Does your spouse need a lot of help? Don't be a manager. Like, or can just think it through before you do it. Like, cause it, especially if your personality, depending on what kind of personality you are, it can take a lot out of you. And so that's the other thing, is just be nice to yourself, set yourself up for success, and understand if now is the right time to make yourself emotionally and intellectually available to many, many more people than you were the day before, every single day.
Yeah, that's a great call out, because I feel like if I were to look at myself personally, like in my lens as a parent and a IC, I think that it probably would be more difficult for me to be a manager now, just to from like a work-life balance. Like, I feel like my work-life balance now is like, okay, it's not terrible. I could be working a little less and focusing more on my, you know, night duties and my, you know, for life duties, which is not design systems, but being a parent and a mentor. But yeah, I think that's something that we forget. And like we always joke about managers using the word opportunity. Like it's, I don't like that word opportunity. I like to think about like what you were saying, just about whether this is like the right time or space for this specific role itself.
Exactly. How much are you able to give of yourself? Because man, you better damn well be given a lot of yourself. If you're not, then like, shame on you, man. Because you're impacting a lot of folks. Those are some real people who report to you, and it's really a duty to give everything that you can to support them and where they want to head. And that is just going to be taxing. Unless you are extremely extroverted and just you live for those engagements on a day-to-day basis, it's gonna leave a dent. And so just go into this as eyes wide open as you can be before you take that leap.
Yeah, the other metaphor that is always interesting that I don't think I've thought about for a while is the idea of like ICs. Obviously, ICs have to communicate up, but a lot of times our relationship is to communicate laterally. So communicating amongst other designers, or possibly maybe just one level up to design management or leads or whatever you call them in your organization. I think the hard part of the manager's job is that it's a vertical communication chain, and it's depending on where you are, you're going up, 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 and you do get that veiled curtain, the blackout curtains, where like you're going, your day to day may be involved with just presenting and advocating for your work so far up that you forget. And you're not able to see some of like the tactical pieces that we're looking at as ICs on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. And I think the other thing within the context of design systems, it is even more challenging because of the specific challenges of design systems. You talk to someone working in design systems, there's a damn good chance they're going to say that they're exhausted. It's like staring into the sun. You're looking at everything, like you have to take it all in. What feature do you work on? What do you mean what feature? I work on all of them. Like I work on every everything. Like everything goes through this, and that is exhausting. So now not only are you taking on the task of supporting people, you're taking on the task of supporting people who are probably exhausted and overwhelmed, which means there's an even greater sense of responsibility. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of design systems are also underfunded. So now on top of that, an exhausted team, now you're trying to make the case for funding and getting just the baseline necessities to make this thing work and proving out your value day after day after day. No one asks what the value is for a feature team. Like, oh, that's hyperbole. Typically, they're not like having to fight for engineering resources to build the feature because like it's a feature, it needs to get built. Whereas a design system that is typically... that's a very common case where you're having to just fight for the core set of skills to make this happen. So that's the other thing is those, the poor folks within design systems have a lot put on their shoulders and they're typically unfunded, and it's your job to take care of them. So that's a lot. Like it's a lot. It's a heavy burden that those folks take on, and just don't go into it lightly. If you're having fun doing your thing as an IC and like, yeah, you know what, I can see myself doing this. Just, you know, maybe consider just keep on doing it. Yeah. I'm not speaking to you, Davey. I'm not speaking to you personally.
I'm taking the advice. Just keep doing it. Keep trying to excel and put out good shit. The hard part I see as a manager, and I see this in design managers on our teams, our design system teams across Meta, is having to consistently give our mission and values and upsell. And this is more of like a either biannual basis, but for sure, every year around this time, we're going on the upsell roadshow again, right? And it's always something a little different. It's like, so what did you touch? Whom did you help? And it's like, everything. Who did we not help? How did this convert? Well, like that's the conversion, the part, the implementation and the usage of our components is not dictated by us, you know? So like there's a really hard story to try to continuously upsell. And the hardest part is like, as on our teams, like, especially in big companies like Meta, sometimes we get reorged into different business units. In that case, it's even harder because then we have to do this completely from scratch on an annual basis. So it's been a little tricky, and I feel like that one, some of those pieces sort of leads me to like rethink the idea of being a manager at a capital B big company. Maybe some place like Disney was big, but wasn't as like scaled and broad as this.
Yeah. The other area where that shows up is performance and promotion nominations. If leadership doesn't understand the value of systems, good luck getting that person promoted. Because we can ask like, well, I don't understand how what they're doing is even valuable. Why would I promote this person? What value are they bringing? And that is like just a knife to the chest. I've gone through it a few times. It's not fun. I have become a papa bear in performance where I just come out swinging as much as I like so many numbers, all the numbers. Like I'm going to throw every number at it. It's going to be just one big spreadsheet. Going back, it took us years to get to the point where we had the telemetry to do that. So if you're immature to the point where you don't even have the measurements, how do you provide that data to begin with? That is part of the challenge of being a manager is all those things and finding a way to set your team up for success and to ensure that success is rewarded. So end of year is typically it's a lot. You have the work and then you have the other work, which is being, you know, acting as their advocate and their champion to get them what they deserve.
Yeah, I would say, like when I was a manager, like no joke, like 2 months I spent on that process. So not only is it gathering of data, like and help facilitating that for the ICs, trying to help develop their case studies, talking to managers to get help, right? So like one thing that I think is very helpful in medium or large size companies is trying to band together as design managers of similar groups and trying to share and learn how to calibrate people properly. It sounds kind of terrible saying using the word calibration, but just using the stupid industry terms there. But yeah, it took 2 months and I'll say that I went a little verbose. So I wrote when I had, I think I had seven direct reports, I wrote a review for them. So I had them write their review and I had a large review that I helped put together and write for them. And I remember some of them were 10 pages, but they did that much work. And like, it was my duty to help them describe and illustrate and shed light on this work. Now, I think it's debatable whether like a director would read the 10 pages, probably not, right? But it's also my job to be able to distill that 10 page into one page or two page. But for the sake of the IC, I would appreciate if someone helped me distill and help develop my case studies. Cause all of this stuff is like, whether us as ICs or managers, whether we want to admit it or not, it's all going into a portfolio case study. Like hopefully at the end of the day, all of this work is going to go into something that's shareable outside because we're not going to work here forever. So we want to be able to make sure that writing is sort of malleable. We're able to articulate our thoughts. And we also have a manager that's able to support this stuff. So I thought that performance piece and that time of year is like extremely crucial. It's a little unfortunate if you're tied to like a traditional fiscal year, just based on holidays and work-life balance, spending time with family. I think it should probably be January through March.
Ideally, that would sure be nice. One thing I've been advocating, improve their evidence gathering skills. God, I mean, I say evidence every, I say it every goddamn episode, but I it's how much I believe in it. A, because I think it leads to better work, but B, it's a process and a habit that's going to enable you to advocate for yourself. The minute that you are relying on a manager to advocate for you, wholly relying on them, that puts you in a position of vulnerability. Are they a good manager that's going to put in the time, or are they a manager that's going to phone it in and be like, ah, whatever, I don't care? If you're able to collect that information, if you're able to show the impact and the outcomes and the business value that you're providing, that gives you, you're taking control of your own destiny. And it's highly critical. I think it leads to better design outcomes because you're using evidence to craft your decision-making and having that influence your execution. But it also helps you get in the habit of taking that next step, understanding what you did, how that translated to business outcomes, and how that should reflect your compensation and where you are within the organization. It's sad to say, but if you're always going to be your biggest advocate, and if you're not advocating for yourself, you're doing yourself a disadvantage. So this is a case where it's a win-win. It helps the company and it helps you. And it should be that, you know, step one of your design career is starting to build up that capability to do simple statistics and analysis of numbers and evidence to determine how well you're doing in your work.
Yeah, the biggest, I think, piece of feedback that one of the biggest pieces of feedback that I get from UPJ is the idea of writing. So someone had brought this up on Design Twitter, like, how do you start a portfolio? Well, just write it, right? Like you don't start in Figma, you don't start in Framer or wherever. You start by just going into your writing tool and just writing a case study. And then in my case, most of my portfolio, which is private now, is like mostly written. And I even went as far as like writing it in bullet points. So it's like snackable. So like back to the point of like, oh yeah, I don't think that my director may read a 5 to 10 page review. I don't think a hiring manager is going to read a 2 page case study. I think they're going to look for bits and pieces, and we need to be able to display things like you said, like business, user outcomes, impact in as succinct way as possible. So learning how to write in a more narrative approach, but then also being able to distill it into bullet points.
One mistake designers make early on is they focus way too much on the design of the portfolio as opposed to the work. And that may have to do where the work is light and you got nothing to showcase, but ultimately it's the work that matters. And the showcase of it should just not get in the way. But it's the, how do you communicate what you did? How do you do it in a way where it's effective, concise? It's all the thing, you know, it's from a communication standpoint, it's the same damn thing. So yes, if you improve in your writing, that is a skill that'll benefit you in so many different ways. And one of the ways is making the case for your promotion and helping your manager make the case. So yeah, being a better writer is never going to hurt you. And for the love of God, do not rely on GPT to make you a better writer. Just, you know, take the time and learn it on your own. It will benefit. I swear to God, it will help you.
Yeah. There's a book that I discovered. It was like over 5 years ago, Articulating Design Decisions. They just recently released like a new version maybe 2 years ago now. But I've been re-listening to that audio book, and that's been something that's been super, super duper useful for all of these design system adoption, selling, and then also specifically now, trying to influence stakeholders and then also like articulate like how we bring value.
It's frustrating that I just said that the work speaks for itself. And I think it does in portfolios. It is frustrating how the work so frequently does not speak for itself, inside the walls of a corporate, you know, a corporate entity. So I say that within the context of a portfolio, but within corporate America, it can be a different animal. And so it, unfortunately, how you speak and how you articulate your decisions is oftentimes more important than the work. You know, that may or may not have to do why some people seem to climb the ladder and people ask, that person can't design themselves out of a wet paper bag. How the hell did they get there? Well, it may or may not have something to do with the ability to communicate and articulate within the setting of corporate America.
Yeah, it's like a perfect analogy is like, how are folks at the Toyota dealership selling you those like insurance plans? Like, because they're probably really good salespeople.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's I wish it was a meritocracy. It ain't.
Well, we've almost hit 30 on this one.
on that real rosy last point. That was a great place to end it. Great place to end it.
I just gotta cut you off before we start going down like a very negative.
We're all gonna die.
I did say that to a design director before at the very beginning of a meeting. So I started the meeting
icebreaker
by telling my director, you know, we're all gonna die. That's the end of the story.
The sad part is he didn't know. No one ever told him, and his life was just crushed.
No, no one ever told him. And it's like,
wait, what?
It's like, shit, I gotta go. And then he's left. He's actually left at that point. Yeah.
He came along. It's all, yeah. It's all, yeah. Wow. All right. Okay. This was a great way to end it. Yeah. We're all gonna die. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Take care. Bye bye.